In Parsha Shemois, we have the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of the exile in Egypt. We have the story of the burning bush, the Sneh, the encounter that Moshe had with Hashem, the first encounter that Moshe had with Hashem, and Hashem charged him with the mission, perhaps the greatest mission in the history of the world, to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. So there was a whole conversation, there was a whole dialogue between Hashem and Moshe, where Moshe is resisting, and he doesn't want to go. And Hashem, and he's giving every argument possible not to have to go. And finally, reluctantly, after a great, many arguments, and at the very end, Moshe finally concedes, and he goes to take the Yidden out. So, in the midst of this conversation, all the way at the beginning, it says like this. This is, I made copies so it would be clearer, easier to follow. This is on page Yud, on the first column, to the right side, on Pasuk Yud Gimel. So it says, "Vayomer Moshe l'Elokim." That Moshe said to Hashem, "Hinei anochi bal b'nei Yisrael. I am coming to the Yidden. V'amarti lohem, and I will say to them, 'Elokei avoseichem shlochani aleichem.' The God of your fathers, Hashem of your fathers, sent me to you. V'amru li, they will say to me, 'Mashmoi, what's his name?' Mo oimer aleihem, what should I say to them?" If they're going to ask me, what's Hashem's name, what should I say? So, Vayomer Elokim al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, tell them, Eke Asher Eke. I shall be who I shall be. Parenthetically, the word is pronounced with a yud, a y sound, a y sound. But being that, as we're going to see, this might be a name of Hashem, so we're using a substitution, the kuf sound, Eke Asher Eke, okay? So then it says like this, so Eke has sent me to you. This is what you should say to the Jewish people. Eke Shlochani Aleichem, that Hashem sent me to you. Vayomer Oida Lekim Al Moshe. And Hashem says again, or he adds, he says to Moshe, Ko somar el b'nei Yisrael, this is what you should say to the b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, Hashem, the Hashem of your fathers, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, Shlochani Aleichem, he sent me to you, Zvesh mi liyolam, this is my eternal name, Bezeh zichri ledoir vedoir, and this is my remembrance for generation to generation. This is the end of this part of the conversation. And there are many questions, many things that are difficult to understand in just in these three verses. The first thing is the name. Hashem says to Moshe, Eka Asher Eka. That's my name. A strange name. We don't find this name anywhere else in the Torah. So it's a question. Is this a name? Is Eka Asher Eka one of Hashem's names? So there are commentaries who say, yes, this is Hashem's name. The Rashbam says that Eka Asher Eka is one of the names of Hashem. It means, I am the one who can keep my promise. I promise to redeem them. I have the power to see it through, to make it happen. And this was important now, because Moshe was coming to tell them that they're going to be redeemed. So he wanted to let them know that there was a promise, and this was going to fully materialize. Eka Asher Eka, I will make this happen. The Rambam, Maimonides, explains also the same, that Eka Asher Eka is a name of Hashem. It means absolute existence. I am who I am, which means I'm absolute. Various other names represent various manifestations, various projections of Hashem. This name indicates Hashem's very self, which means, in contrary to all other existence, everything else that exists, exists with a possible existence. It exists because there is a cause, there is something that makes it exist. However, Hashem's existence is absolute, mechuyev hametzias, the words of the Rama. Someone who exists with an intrinsic existence, with an absolute existence. And as Abarbanel explains, the reason why this was important was because the Jews would be very, very reluctant to accept anybody as the Redeemer. There were all kinds of magicians and all kinds of people that had certain powers in those days. They lived in Egypt, the seat of... So in order for them to believe that this was really a God-sent man, someone that was sent by Hashem, they would need to hear something very real. So Moshe didn't come to them, he's sent by some angel or something like that. And even within Hashem, he didn't speak of some names. Moshe revealed, said that Hashem said, tell them that you're coming from Hashem's truest self, true existence. Eka Asher Eka expresses the very truth of Hashem, His very being. Rashi, however, and Nachmanides, the Ramban, as he explains it, says that this is not a name. That's why we don't find it anywhere else, because it isn't a name. So we can pronounce it Eya Asher Eya. I will be who I shall be. Which means it was a message. It was a message of comfort. Just tell them, Eya, I am with them in their trouble. I am with them in this trouble, and I will be with them in all their future troubles. So as Rashi says, Moshe objected. They've gone through so much, why speak about future troubles? So Hashem said, so just tell them, Eya shlochani aleichem. The one who is with them sent me to you. I am with them, I was with them throughout all the hardship and all the suffering, I sent them with. As the Ramban explains, they asked for a name. Hashem said, it's not important, the name. Tell them something much better than the name. For them to believe that I really sent you. Tell them the one who is with them. That's the biggest sign in the truth of the mission, and the truth of Hashem, because they see they survived the Golus, because I was with them throughout hardship. So it clearly is saying, this is not a name. I was with them, I will be with them. Good. What we need to understand is that Rashi generally sticks to the most literal translation of something, of the verse. Pshutei shel mikra, the simple meaning of a pasuk. And over here he deviates, and he translates it more in a midrashic way. Not the simple meaning, because they asked for a name. And he's not coming back with the name. He's avoiding the question. He's not telling them a name. He's telling them something else. He's comforting them. So why can't he just learn like the others that this is a name of Hashem? It's a simple, they ask for a name. Here's my name. Eka Asher Eka. In the next verse, Hashem adds, Hashem says more to Moshe. This is what you should say to the Bnei Yisrael. Hashem, the Hashem of your fathers, sent me to you. Now it's clear, Ken, Moshe didn't say anything in between. Just says, Vayomer oid Elokim. This is a continuation to the previous statement. Hashem said, tell them, Eka Asher Eka, and then he continues, and he adds, Vayomer oid Elokim. You should tell them something else. Now, Hashem definitely, before he speaks, knows what he's going to say. So it wasn't like he started saying something and then he said, oops, you know, by the way, you should also tell them this. He knew what he was saying. So why is it suddenly stopped? The statement is finished. And then Vayomer Oidalikim. You can't say it's something completely new, because then why does it say Vayomer Oidalikim? Hashem added more, which means this is in reference to their question. They're asking, what's my name? So I'm telling them whatever I told them before, and now I'm adding on. So we need to understand, why is it that the answer is complete from the last pasuk? Eka Asher Eka, whatever that means, that's the answer. However, in addition to that, and to perhaps to clarify that, I'm telling them more, Koy Simon al Bnei Yisrael Hashem Elokei Avoseich. What is becoming clear from the second verse? What is being added on in the second verse that is clarifying something from the first verse? And at the truth, it seems to be contradicting what it says in the first verse. Because in the first verse, he said the name is Eka Asher Eka, a unique new name that we never heard of. And in this verse, he continues and he says Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, clearly saying the more common name of Hashem. It's called Shem Havaya, the name of Yudkei Vavkei. That's the name that you should tell him, the four-letter name of Hashem. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, he is the one who sent me to you. So this is a contradiction to what he said earlier. So which one is it? Is it Eka Asher Eka, or is it Hashem that is sending? So the Rashbam, and it seems because of these two questions, he's the one who said that Eka is one of Hashem's names, says what the second verse is clarifying over the first verse, is that he's saying like this, I told you a name of mine, Eka Asher Eka. But now that you're telling, that you're revealing that name, tell them that that's not a name that they should refer to me. That is my name. You don't refer to a king by his personal name. That's my personal name. Therefore, if they want to refer to me, they should refer to me by the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's the name, or that's my regular name. Don't refer to me by the name of Eka Asher Eka. That's what he's saying. Zeh Shmi La'olam. This is my name, the name that I told you before. That's my name. But don't refer to me about that name. Zeh Zichri, the way you should mention my name, the way I should be referred to, L'dor V'dor in all generations, is in a different name. And that's the clarity. So now we understand what he's adding. There is an answer, and then he's adding more, and he says, clarity, I want to clarify something. Don't refer to me by that name, because that's my essential name. Rashi, who doesn't learn that Eka Asher Eka is a name of Hashem? Rashi, who says that Eka Asher Eka was a statement of comfort. I am with them and I will be with them. And Hashem didn't say a name, so then we need to understand, again, in this verse, he does tell them a name. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, he tells them a name. But then when he continues, and he says, Zeh Shmi La'olam v'zeh Zichri L'dor V'dor, this is my name forever. So Rashi says something very interesting. Zeh Shmi La'olam, this is my name forever. So Rashi says the word forever, la'olam, is missing a vav. So instead of reading it la'olam, which means eternally, forever, it can be read la'olam. La'olam means to conceal. This is my name, but it is to be concealed. Which means Hashem was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu an important halacha, a law, in regards to the pronunciation of Hashem's name. The yud-kei vav-kei, Hashem's explicit name, Hashem's most personal name, is a name that we're not allowed to pronounce. So Zeh Shemi, this is my name, La'olam, it must be concealed. However, you might think if it is to be concealed, it means that you don't refer to it at all. It's completely hidden and it's completely concealed. Hashem says no. Zeh Zichri L'doir V'doir, this is my name, this is the way you should remember me, which means when you want to call the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, let me teach you how to pronounce it during the time of exile until the days of Mashiach. until the end of days, the way you should refer to the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is through a different name. And that's the way we call, whenever we see Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, we call it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So Zeh Zichri, this is the way you refer to me, which means the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, this is the way you should mention. This halacha is what Hashem taught Moshe over here. However, this is problematic, because the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei was said many times before. Isn't that the first time this name refers to in the Torah? This refers to all the way in Parashas Bereishis, right after the story of creation. In the beginning it says Elokim, but then it says B'yayim Asayis Hashem Elokim. And then with the Avos, with our forefathers, is constantly referred to the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And even though in the next Pasuk Parashat it says, Hashem says, I revealed myself to them with the name Kel Shakai, but not with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Rashi explains, it doesn't mean that there was no revelation. It means that I haven't fully materialized, I haven't fully proven my name, the truth of that name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But he definitely revealed himself to the others through the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. As it says so many times, Vayera Elav Hashem. Like by Avram Avinu, Hashem revealed. So why doesn't the Pasuk in the previous, in our earlier state, by the others already, teach us this halacha that we're not allowed to say his name, and we refer to Hashem through a different name? And this is the question that the Al-Shech HaKadosh asks. Why over here, why is this important exact at this point where he has to tell them about his name? And last, the most basic question. Right in the beginning, Moshe says to Hashem, Hine anoichi bo b'nei Yisrael, I'm going to come to the children, to the Jewish people. V'amarti lohem, and I will say to them, that Hashem, Elokei avoseichem, back to verse Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Elokei avoseichem shlochani aleich, the God of your father sent me. V'amruli, they will say to me, Ma shemoi, what's his name? Mo oimer aleim, what should I say to them? It's really shocking. What do you mean they're going to say what's his name? The Jewish people don't know the name of Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, Elokei avoseichem, the God of your fathers, which clearly indicates that the Jewish people had a relationship with Hashem and there was a tradition that was handed down to them from their fathers. So they knew about the existence of Hashem. And so if their fathers taught them about Hashem, they also taught them about Hashem's name. How to daven. They were davening. They would call out to Hashem. So they had to know Hashem's name. They would know that, and they knew that Hashem was going to redeem them from Mitzrayim. Even though it doesn't say anywhere in the Pasuk openly that the Yidden knew that Hashem was going to redeem them, openly in these verses. But it says when the Yidden went down to Mitzrayim, Hashem said to Yaakov Avinu, Anoichi Eidei Dimcha, I will go down with you. Anoichi Elcha Gamolo, and I will come up with you. It's definitely that Yaakov shared that with his children, with the Shvatim. They definitely gave that over to their children. And the clearest example, or the clearest place where it says openly that the Yidden must have known, was because Yosef, before he passed on, told them that they should carry his bones with them. Paka Yifka Delekim, Hashem will take you out, and you should take my bones with you. And he made them swear, he administered an oath, and that they should make their children swear, as Rashi says in Parashas B'Shalach. So the Yidden knew they were going out, and that God was going to take them out of Mitzrayim. And if Hashem was going to take them out, they knew Hashem's name. So what does it mean they're going to say Mashemai? What kind of question is that? And even if you're going to argue that maybe because of the hardship, because of the difficulties, perhaps they forgot the name. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew Hashem's name. So why is Moshe saying, Mo'im Aleim, what should I say? You know their name, tell them my name. So there are commentaries who want to say, the Sefarnu and others, that the question, Mashemai, is not what's his name. Question is, Hashem is called by various different names, has to do with various different conduct, different attributes, the way Hashem is relating. Sometimes Hashem is called Elokim when he's a judge. Sometimes he's called Yud-Kei Vav-Kei when he's in a merciful way. So the question that the Yidden were asking, what kind of redemption? You're an agent of Hashem. Which name of Hashem sent you? In what mode is Hashem? Is this shlichus? Is this redemption going to be? And as the Ramban explains a little bit more, he says, depending They will wonder, or they will wonder, Moshe said. What is the redemption going to come from Kael Shakai, which was the name that Hashem revealed himself to the Avos, mainly by Kael Shakai? With that name, there will be miracles, but the miracles will be enclosed, they will be cloaked or vested in nature. Like we see many, there were miracles many times. The whole story of Yosef in Mitzray. Yosef became the prime minister of Mitzray. So that was miracles, clearly miracles. But it was miracles that were concealed in nature. It was a whole sequence of events that led, and it was clearly that it was the hand of Hashem. But it was concealed, it was hidden. So they wanted to know, is it going to be that kind of a redemption? Or perhaps it's going to be a supernatural redemption. It'll be a redemption that is going to shatter nature completely. If the redemption is going to come from the Yudke Vavke. And that's going to be their question. Good question. However, difficult to accept that. Because the Jews have suffered so much. They've gone through so much pain. They were crushed. And waiting every day for the redemption. What difference does it really make to them? What kind of redemption this is going to be? If it is going to be a redemption from this name or from that name, just end the suffering. Put an end to the misery. And it's not like Moshe says, it's possible they're going to ask for a name. The way the Vasik says, va'amru li, not v'im yomru li, if they will say. I will come to them, I will tell them, God sent me, Hashem sent me, they will say to me, Mashmoy, what's his name? How is he sure that they will say this? There might be a few philosophers amongst them who will want to know exactly what kind of redemption, what name is being used. But to be so sure that this is what they will say, this is going to be their question. And really the sages tell us that this debate, this whole, by this, the Moshe Rabbeinu stood by the burning bush, by the sneh, according to the Medrash, for 7 days. 7 days they were arguing. Interesting, if you read the verses, the psukim that there are here, this whole conversation could have taken place in a half an hour. Maybe, at best, an hour. Well, it took 7 days. So you have to say that perhaps there were some arguments, there were some parts of the arguments that are, or the dialogue that is not recorded. Maybe there were many other things that Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with Hashem that it doesn't say. That's one possibility. Or another possibility is that each one of these questions carries so much more than what we were seeing in it. And it really took 7 days to process this information, each question, each answer. But whatever it is, the Pasuk is telling us the most important points of this conversation. Moshe's arguments to Hashem why he shouldn't go. This argument about they're going to come to me and say, what's your name, is the second argument. The first thing on Moshe's list was the first thing. The first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu said when Hashem came to him, he said earlier, Moshe said, we don't have it over here in the copies. When Hashem said, I came down, I heard their pain. Go, I'm sending you to take the Jews out of Egypt. Moshe says to Hashem, Mi anoichi, who I am? Who am I? Well, that's so characteristic of Moshe. Moshe is the ultimate humble person. So he can't even hear what Hashem is telling. Beyond, meaning what the mission, before he gets into any of the details, he's so shocked by the fact that Hashem called him a nobody in his own eyes. Why in the world would Hashem ask me to go? It made no sense to him. So that's his first thing. It's not even about what the mission is. This is something important that Hashem, you need to do. Why choose me? So Hashem answered him, it's not you, it's me. You're just going to be the instrument. You're just going to be the tool. It's through you that I'm going to do this. You're going to be my mouthpiece. We're going to speak to Parai for me. But it's me doing it. And maybe perhaps, dafka, because of your humility, because you're so egoless, that's why you can serve as my agent. Because you won't interfere. You will be completely transparent to me. So it's precisely because of your humility, because you say, Mi Anochi, that's why Hashem's full power can be manifest through you. Because your ego won't get in the way. Fine. But what's the next argument? Now if you read the Psukim, you see a couple of very powerful arguments. Moshe says they won't believe me. Or he says, one of the arguments were, in what merit are they going to go out of Mitzrayim? That they, or he says, I can't speak. Moshe was speech impaired. He says, why out of all people, if you need someone to communicate the power, I choose someone who can't speak? Or another one of the questions were, my brother is going to be insulted. Take my older one. These are good arguments. But what kind of thing is this? This is the second thing. Seems to me the most one of the most important things. And what does he say? They will say to me, what's his name? And the explanation is, what kind of redemption will this be? There has to be more to this. And it could be that this is the reason why Rashi doesn't seem to accept that. Rashi, you see clearly, even though there's no comment on Rashi, on the word mashamay, there is no comment on what the question means, but you can see that Rashi did not learn or accept that the question is, what's his name? Why? Because if that would be the question, then the answer would be, he would give him a name. The answer, he doesn't give him a name, according to Rashi. Eka Asher Eka is not a name. It's comforting. So you see, because the question was not, what's his name? It was a deeper question. Rashi understood that the question that was being asked over here was a heavy loaded question. A very, very powerful question that they're going to ask. A painful question. A question that Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't have an answer for. And he says, Mo oimer aleihem, what will I say to them? And they will definitely ask that question. The Jewish people had gone through a horrific, torturous exile. For 210 years, they suffered. For the last 80 years, they had gone through unimaginable agony and pain. First, there were the labor camps, where they were expected to do, to work in a superhuman way. They had to accomplish, which humanly, if you look in the Medrash, and you see the expectations that was expected of them, non-stop, starving, exhausted people. If they didn't finish the quota of the bricks, if there was one brick that was missing, then they cemented the person into the wall who hadn't finished it. This was such abuse, such torture, such pain. And this was relentless, ongoing, for 80 years. I'm not an historian, but we look into history, I don't know of a time when there was a continuous suffering for such a duration of time. We had the suffering of 60 years ago, which lasted for about 4 to 5 years. Even that is inconceivable, how people can go through such suffering. But this lasted for 80 years. But it wasn't only the beatings, it wasn't only the labor camps. They have gone through, besides for all this, this was already after the decree that all the baby boys should be drowned and thrown into the Nile. Their little babies were torn away from the mothers, thousands upon thousands, and drowned in the river. They watched this. They've endured this. This must have emotionally crushed and destroyed them far more than all their physical pain and brutality of their own suffering. And last thing that happened was, it says in earlier, Vayitzaku, the Yidden cried out to Hashem, and as Rashi says, Paro got some sickness, some boils or some sores, and the Egyptian doctors told him that in order to heal from his sores, he must bathe in Jewish blood. And he would slaughter 150 babies in the morning and butcher 150 babies in the afternoon to bathe twice a day. So it was like an expression, bathing in blood. Here it was literally. Who knows? Doesn't say how long this lasted. How many Jewish babies were killed in this, were tortured in this way. So Moshe says to Hashem, I am going to come to the Jewish people. And I'm going to say to them that Hashem heard their cries. Hashem, the Hashem of their fathers. The God of their fathers. Their fathers who enjoyed a loving relationship, a friendship with Hashem. And Hashem heard their cries. And He sent me to redeem them. They are going to turn to me. These broken people are going to turn to me. And they're going to say to me, Mashemoi, what's his name? What kind of conduct is this? What kind of behavior is this? The name means Hashem's midah. What kind of attribute is this? To allow such suffering, to allow such pain. He heard our cry, now He hears our cry. What does it take for Hashem to hear us? How many babies have to be killed? How many baths of Jewish blood? After rivers of blood and oceans of tears. We have no tears to cry anymore. Now He hears. Mashemoi, what's His name? It's not a philosophical question. It's an emotional outburst. I will just say to them that Hashem, their caring God, came to them. And the dam will break open. And the powerful question will come gushing forth. They will want to know the explanation of the last 210 years of all that suffering, of all that pain. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Mo oimer aleihem, what will I say to them? The question that the Yidden in the Holocaust asked, where was God during all that suffering? Where was He? That's the question that every person who has suffered and has pain in their life asks. Or maybe somewhere inside of them, in the back of their mind, there is a question. Where are You when I'm in pain? When I'm suffering so much? How many times am I calling out to You and You're not answering? And You are the God who cares, the compassionate, caring One. But where are You? That's the question of Mashemoi, what's their name? What is Your name? Moshe says, what will I say to them? What will I say to the woman who will come crying to me and tell me, Hashem sent you to take us out of Egypt. Well, where was Hashem when my husband didn't come home one night and the next day I found out that he was plastered in the wall? Where were You when my little baby was taken and wrenched out of my hand and all my shrieks and cries fell on deaf ears and the baby was thrown into the water and drowned? Where was He when they took my other child and they made Paro's bath with his blood? Mashemoi, what's his name? What kind of conduct is this? Hashem says to Moshe, Vayomer Elokim al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Eya asher ha'eya, I shall be, I am who I am. I am, as Rashi says, I am with them. I am with them in their pain. I was with them all along. I was with them, not only was I physically present in their place, but I was with them in the pain. Don't think for one moment that during this all this torment and all this suffering, I was disconnected, removed, separated, involved with other things. And finally it became so unbearable and You shrieked so loud. And finally You touched me and that I was moved to come down to help You. No. Eya, I was with You all along. When You were standing and You had to lift up those bricks and Your hands were sore, I was picking those bricks up with You. When Your shoulder was being crushed from the weight of the boulders, I felt those stones on my shoulders too. When the whip of the Egyptian taskmasters were raining down on your bare back, tearing into you, they were tearing into me too. I cried with You when your babies were drowned. Kiviyachol, if we can say that, I was drowned with them too. And I felt the mother's pain when she lost her child. I felt it even more than you feel because you have a human heart and it's only possible to feel a certain amount. I feel your pain infinitely. I was with you all along. I wasn't far. I was there feeling the pain. Eya asher eke. So you're going to say to me, and that's the answer. The answer to Mashmoy, what kind of conduct, meaning to say, where was the coldness? Hashem said, no, I was with them. I was with them feeling all of this, enduring all of this along with them. However, now the question is going to be, well, if you really felt the pain, and if you were with me all along, so how can you allow it to happen? How can you allow this to be done to you, to us, and to be done to yourself? So for that, Hashem explains. Hashem adds and he explains and he says to Moshe, this is what you should say to the Yid. Hashem, Hashem, the Father, the God of your fathers. Meaning to say like this. Which name does he say? Yudke Vavke. When I'm saying that I was with them, you might say, how was Hashem with us? Maybe he was with them. But maybe he was with them as a judge. Maybe he was with them as a prosecutor. Maybe he was with them in a disciplining way where they needed to be punished for whatever punishment they, for whatever sin. They needed this punishment. And that's how he was with them. Hashem says, no. You should know the name that was with you. Meaning, who was with you? How was I with you? I was with you with the name of compassion. Yudke Vavke is the name of Rachamim. I was with you as a compassionate father. As a merciful mother. But if that's the case, so why don't we see Hashem's mercy? Why all the suffering? Why all the pain? So Hashem says, Zeshmi, this is my name. La'olam, it's concealed. You can't see my name. You can't see my compassion. Until the end of days, you cannot openly, conspicuously experience my compassion. It's la'olam, it's concealed. It's hidden. So you're going to wonder and you're going to say, if it's hidden, if Hashem's compassion is hidden, so then why, what benefit is it? What benefit do we have if compassion is there, if the passion is obscured and blocked and not seen? So the pasuk continues, Zeh zichri l'doyer v'doyer. This is the way you should remember me, which means this is the way you call out. Meaning, as we said, Rashi says it means, you can't call me, you can't pronounce the name Yudke Vavke. The reason why you can't pronounce it is because to pronounce it means to experience it. You can't experience my compassion today. In the time, until Mashiach comes, we don't see it. However, just because it's not open and it's not revealed doesn't mean that it's not active. It's active, but in a concealed way. Zichri, Zichri means the way you remember me. What does it mean the way you remember me? Since we can't say Hashem's open name, we can't say the Yudke Vavke, so how do we refer to him? We refer to him by another name. We say Ado Shem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But when we're saying Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that's not an alternative. We can't relate to this attribute. So we're going to speak about another attribute, another name. No, that's not what it's saying. It's a substitution. Meaning that how do we call out to the Yudke Vavke? We reach and we access the Yudke Vavke, the name of compassion, through a different pronunciation. Which means that the name of Yudke Vavke is present, it's active, and he's responding to us in our cries. But it's cloaked. It's concealed and it's veiled. It's a hidden compassion. So on the outside, it might appear as Hashem being judging, Hashem being harsh. But the truth is, it's rachamim pshutim. It's simple compassion all along. An example of this, of something which might be harsh and difficult to, and what might appear to us, but all along it has been good all along, is the story of Yosef. Yosef is looking at his own life. Here is a young boy that was been abducted, torn away from his parents, and then accused of something that he hasn't done, and his name has been embarrassed and cheapened. Then he was thrown into prison, into a dungeon for 12 years. Now he could, obviously, regular people would be sitting there and saying, what? What have I sinned? Hashem is judging me. For what kind of sin? There was no judgment, there was no sin. This was compassion all along. Hashem was making him the great ruler who he was going to be. The road to that greatness was through pain, for whatever reason. But it was rachamim, it was kindness. It was compassion, but it was compassion cloaked and concealed through a veil, through a cover of masked in harshness. Hashem's attribute with the Jewish people throughout the entire Golus is compassion. When Mashiach comes, we will see the compassion. We will see the goodness. Today we can't. A mother has to take her child, her little toddler, 1-year-old, 1 to 2-year-old, to the hospital for some treatment, for some procedure. There's 3 possibilities. One possibility is, she knows this is what's needed, this is the goodness, this is what the child needs for their well-being, for their health. She will take her child and deliver the child to the nurses, to the doctors, and say, sorry, this is what needs to be done. And the mother will go out and have lunch, and have coffee, and read a newspaper. Obviously, that's not a mother. A mother will not do that. So there's another possibility. I can't bear your pain. I cannot be there in the room when you're going to be shrieking in pain. I know this needs to be done, so I'm going to do it. But I don't want to hear your pain, so I'm going to run away down the hall. I'm going to go far away that I don't hear your pain. Who do we find that? There was a mother that did that. There was an Arab mother. That was the mother, Hagar did that. She said, I don't want to see when my son dies. So she left her son there and she went off. So she shouldn't see her son die. It's not a Jewish mother. The Jewish mother will stand in the room while the procedure is being done. She would hold her child's hand. She will weep and she'll cry. She'll wipe the tears. She'll say to her child, my dear, there is no way in the world I can explain to you why you need to go through what you're going through. Your mind of a 1.5-year-old can never conceive, cannot understand why you need to be tortured now. It's impossible. But this is what needs to be done. But while you're going through the pain, even though I know it's good, but meanwhile you're in pain, I will weep with you and I will cry with you and I will soothe you and I will comfort you and I will hold you and I will do everything I can to make it end 1 minute earlier, to make you a tiny bit more comfortable, to ease the pain a little bit because I'm with you. The little child looks up to the mother, it doesn't understand. Doesn't understand what happened. This is my loving mother. My mother that loves me so much. Why is she doing this to me? Why is she putting me through this pain? But the child somewhere is comforted because the child knows this is my mommy. Doesn't understand much, but he knows that his mommy is there. And if he knows that his mommy is there, it's comforting to know that she's there with him. And deep inside, he knows that it's not a rationale, but there is an ability to, there is comfort in knowing that she is with me in this. Hashem deals with us in mysterious ways. And there are times when Hashem, we know that everything that happens to us as individuals and to the Jewish people as a whole, all the pain and all the suffering, we know what we're supposed to say. Gamzu l'toiva. This too is for the good. Kol da'avid rachmana l'tavavid. Everything Hashem does, He does for the good. We know that. That's what, and like the sages say, a person is supposed to thank Hashem for their troubles and for painful experiences in the same way they thank Hashem for happiness and for good things. But here's the thing. And as explained, that really, it's because when Chas v'Shalom, Hashem is giving us pain, It's only good, but it's a goodness coming from a much higher level. As the Kabbalists explain, that there's two levels of goodness. There is a goodness called revealed good, and there is a concealed good. Revealed good is a type of good, is a goodness that we can identify with. Like a parent who's giving candy and toys and takes their children to the swings in the park. That's a revealed good. But sometimes a parent has to do something that in the mind of the child they can't understand. It's a goodness that's on a level of apparent goodness. And a little child can't understand. But that's a greater good. If the distance between a child, between a mother and a child, perhaps a 20-year difference of maturity of a mind. And we can understand that a 1.5-year-old cannot understand the mind of a mature person. How much more so is the infinite distance that there is between our puny little brains and Hashem's infinite mind? One thing is for sure, the goodness that will come out of all this suffering, the goodness is so good, it's so inconceivably and unimaginably good that it was worth all the pain and all the suffering. And as the Pasuk says, that when Mashiach comes, we will turn around and say, Oitcha Hashem, I'm going to thank you, ki anaftabi, that you have rebuked me and you have treated me harshly. Because we realized then that it was all kindness all along. But just because it's kindness and just because Hashem has that higher vision and He sees it from this detached place, from this removed place where we can see everything, doesn't mean that we suffer. We suffer in loneliness, in isolation. He knows the truth that it's good, but He knows how we see it, and He knows how we're enduring it, and how painful and difficult it is for us. And therefore He is with us in the pain. He is with us in the suffering. And He is bleeding along with us, and weeping and crying along with us, and all of our pain. Every little bit of pain He feels. This is the conversation between Hashem and the Yidden. Moshe Rabbeinu is definite. I have a little question. This was the question. Mashmoi, what's the conduct of Golus? What's the reasoning of this suffering? An answer, an explanation, Hashem can't give us. But He could tell us that He's with us and He holds our hands. And when we're crying, He hears it. Sometimes we don't see the response, but He is responding. His response is coming constantly. It's concealed and it's hidden. And very soon the day will come when Umacha Hashem Dima Mayal Kopanim, when Hashem is going to erase all tears and we're going to be able to call Hashem's name, the Yudke Vavke, as it is written. We're going to be able to say it because it's going to be completely revealed. And from then on, there will only be revealed goodness and simcha and joy for Yidden forever and ever. Amen.